This recording, South Carolina 11, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onuroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. She was very happy to start a new job at the suburb private practice in North Square near Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma." What Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name, Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune for her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts was not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. When Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with the cloth and laid her on the right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times of the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much. But Miss Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. Jenkins Orphanage was founded in 1891 by Reverend Daniel Joseph Jenkins. He created this group home because on a random snowy night in Charleston, he found 4 boys huddled together trying to stay warm. And at that time period, even though slavery was outlawed, if you didn't have a home or anybody to go to, legally they can put you in another form of slavery. So he created this group home so kids can have a place to, a safe space just to be, to grow, learn, eat, and to be productive members of society. The first group home was downtown Charleston that mysteriously burned down. And then he was able to recreate the group home in North Charleston on 50 acres of land. And at this group home, the Churn, a part of the Jenkins Orphanage, they went on to be extremely successful, especially with playing different instruments. A lot of them went on to play in Germany, all around the world. They were known as Jenkins Orphanage Band. One of the most famous things out of this band came to be known as the Charleston Dance, what used to be called the Geechee Dance. So Gullah Geechee was developed on plantations when my ancestors were isolated. During that time period, it was different from other forms of plantations. You just had overseers that were black on this plantation. And that created an environment for black folks to develop their own language and cultures and customs separate from white American culture. So, for example, if I was to greet somebody in Gullah, which that part was developed and created during the antebellum period, I would say, "How hana fadu," or "How yena fadu." But if I was to greet somebody in Geechee, I'd be like, "What going on?" So you can hear which one has a little bit more like English influences versus one that does not.